You may not know the name Marty Sklar, but if you've ever visited a Disney theme park, you will have felt his fingerprints on your experience. Marty worked for Disney for over 50 years, helping lead the Imagineers team in creating the different parks and attractions. For the first 10 years of his career, Marty worked closely with Walt Disney himself as his right-hand man. And when Walt passed away in 1966, Marty became the keeper of Walt's voice and creative legacy. He spent the rest of his career helping to embed Walt's language and creative vision into each new design project, keeping Walt's creative spirit and imagination alive. Wasn't always easy. At one point, Marty and his team were facing a very difficult situation, and they found themselves frozen in place, not sure of how they could move forward. But then, in a moment of inspiration, Marty grabbed a blank sheet of paper. He held it up for his team, and he said these words: "There are two ways to look at a blank sheet of paper. It can be the most frightening thing in the world, because you have to make the first mark on it. Or it can be the greatest opportunity in the world, because you get to make the first mark. You can let your imagination fly in any direction and create whole new worlds." Those words and that blank sheet image sparked new life into the Imagineering team, and it got them moving forward again. The idea that you could approach a blank, empty page with two different possibilities became a core narrative for them from that day onwards. But it's not just for Imagineers. The truth is, we all face blank sheet moments in our lives. Maybe you're facing one of those moments right now. A decision, diagnosis, a relationship, a struggle or addiction of some kind. The truth is, we all have blank sheets that stare back at us, taunting us in their emptiness and uncertainty, freezing us in place, maybe not even allowing our feet to move forward. It often produces fear, worry, anxiety, uncertainty, and we're not sure what to do. An empty page can feel so overwhelming. It might even look like an empty tomb found on that first Easter morning. All around the world today, people are celebrating Easter, the triumphant reality that Jesus rose from the dead, that death couldn't hold on to him, and that it no longer has the final word in our universe, that a new creation is being birthed from the life and presence and life and power of Jesus. It is the greatest news possible. And yet, on Easter Sunday, number one, it didn't feel that way, at least not right away. There are a number of stories recorded in the Bible about that first Easter, different experiences of people who came face to face with an empty tomb and who weren't entirely sure of what it all meant. Of course, we can look back and read the story and see the whole picture and say, well, obviously. But that wasn't what those first disciples experienced. Discovering the empty tomb of Jesus was confusing for them, frightening. It raised all sorts of questions like, where did Jesus go? Why isn't he here? And yes, there are moments of awakening and joy and wonder as they began seeing Jesus show up in different places. And they began realizing that something significant has happened. And yet there's these doubts and uncertainty also over what they were witnessing. Is this actually true? Is this actually Jesus? If so, what does it mean for us? The disciples have walked through the most unimaginable pain and loss in the last few days. They've watched Jesus' death by crucifixion, dashing their hopes and their dreams for the future. They saw Jesus' body put into a tomb and a gigantic stone is placed in front of it, forever guarding his burial spot. They knew that dead people usually don't rise from the dead, that dead people don't come back from a Roman crucifixion. They thought it was the end of the story, but what they didn't know was that the story was just beginning. And so on that first Easter Sunday, they faced the ultimate blank page, an empty tomb. And it was going to do one of two things. It was either going to keep them paralyzed in fear and uncertainty and doubt, or it was going to allow them to step into a new experience and a new reality in a world that they never thought possible. This morning, I want to quickly look at two short phrases from John's account in chapter 20. It's easy to skip past them, and yet I think it forms this beautiful transforming framework for the entire resurrection story. The first phrase is found in verse 1 of John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. In the story that follows, Mary runs to find Peter and John to tell them the tomb is empty. They run back to see for themselves, and then Mary has the first encounter with the risen Jesus. She doesn't recognize him right away. In fact, she thinks he's the gardener. And so she asks him if he's taken away Jesus' body from the tomb and where she can find it. And Jesus speaks her name. And in that moment, she realizes Jesus is actually alive and present. And then we come to verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked in fear, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So here in this story, on that very first Easter Sunday, the disciples have gone into hiding. It's nighttime now, both literally and figuratively. It's dark. They're frozen by fear and grief, locked away together, uncertain about the events of the day, uncertain of what their future might hold. But Jesus suddenly appears and he speaks peace over them. He shows them his scars and his wounds, letting them know that it is really him. And then as they begin to realize that Jesus is actually alive, he breathes his spirit into them. It's this foreshadowing of the power and courage and life that will send them into the world with the good news that Jesus is alive and that the resurrection has in fact happened. Well, there's so much we can unpack here. We don't have the time to do that, but I want you to notice the two phrases that bookend and frame both of these stories. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, and on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together. Both stories in John chapter 20 begin with the phrase, "the first day of the week." One takes place in the early morning, and the other in the evening. And I think that's significant because this is the very language of the creation story found in the opening words of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, darkness over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there is evening, and there is morning, the first day. Notice that phrase, the first day. This is the beginning of creation. The starting point for our world, the beginning of a brand new day. And so there's a connection here. Just as the creation poem starts with this idea of the first day, the resurrection chapter in John chapter 20 also begins with the first day, showing us that this new creation, this new life, this resurrection life is coming into existence and reality. And just like the creation started in darkness and emptiness, this new creation in reality, this first Easter Sunday begins with an empty tomb in darkness. If you throw in the details of Mary thinking Jesus is the gardener and this part of Jesus breathing his spirit and breath into his disciples, that connection to the creation story and our human story couldn't be more obvious. Something new is coming out of emptiness. This is day one of a brand new week, the first mark, so to speak, on the blankest page available. Those first disciples may have thought it was the end of the story, but what they didn't know was that the story was just beginning. What they didn't know in those first moments of the first Easter Sunday was that God had turned the page on the story, that God had started a brand new chapter in our world. The blank sheet that was staring them down, that seemed to spell the end of everything, that seemed to give death the final word, was about to have a first mark put on it. A mark that said death would not have the final say, that a new creation, this new life, this resurrection life is just beginning. The story is just getting started. And one by one, the disciples began coming awake to the reality that the resurrection is true, that it's happened, that Jesus is alive and fully present. And they see him and they touch him and they talk to him. And what they thought was this dead end staring them straight in the face now becomes a new opportunity and a chapter in their lives. They thought it was the end of the story, but now they realize and believe that the story is just beginning. Here's what the resurrection reality meant for them and what it means for us today. Resurrection is the reality that Jesus is right here, right now, in your moment, in your situation, your story, your challenge, your struggle, your brokenness, your emptiness, your uncertainty, your fear, your worry. Whatever it is that is staring you in your face right now, the resurrection tells a different story, a new story, a story that is just beginning. It proclaims that Jesus' life and wisdom and power and hope can be found and experienced even now. Easter isn't just an event on our calendar. It is the daily reality that God is for us, that he'll never give up on us, and that he has the final word on everything. And because of that, he can resurrect those things in our lives that seem dead or impossible or broken. He can resurrect dreams. He can resurrect relationships. He can bring healing. He can bring us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance, because the story is just beginning. I love how author A.G. Swoboda writes it. He says, if the resurrection of Jesus actually happened, then really just about anything is possible, isn't it? I mean, anything. Resurrection pretty much opens the door to anything impossible. To be a Christian is to have that type of hope. To believe in resurrection is to always try to reenact resurrection, to relive it, to find it, to be it, to turn shame into grace, to turn death into beauty, to turn ashes into grace. In my own life, there have been so many times where I thought my situation or challenge or obstacle was a dead end, or it seemed impossible, or it seemed too overwhelming. And yet God has always eventually brought me into a new chapter and experience with him. I will say, it often doesn't look like what I was expecting or even wanting, but that's how resurrection works. It brings us to a new place, a new experience, a new understanding, new learning, new courage, new trust for that moment and situation. But resurrection also comes with a new strength and power and presence that couldn't have happened otherwise. Romans 8:11 says that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, lives in me. The very same life and power and breath that brought Jesus back to life is the very same life and power and breath that comes from the Holy Spirit living in us today, in this moment, in your situation and story. Isn't that incredible news? Isn't that life changing? His Spirit lives in us. Resurrection also moves us towards our future. That how we live our lives now matters, because it's going to continue forever. Listen to these words found in 1 Peter chapter 1. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. Author Rob Bell says it like this. Resurrection announces that God hasn't given up on the world, because this world matters. Resurrection says that what we do with our lives matters. Every act of compassion matters. Every work of art that celebrates the good and the true matters. Every fair and honest act of business and trade, every kind word, it all has its place. Resurrection says that in every glimmer of hope, every hint of hope, every impulse that elevates the soul is a sign, a taste, a glimpse of how things actually are and how things will ultimately be. Resurrection affirms the life, this life and the next, as a seamless reality. We are living in a world in the midst of rescue with endless, unexpected possibilities. Resurrection launched those first disciples into an experience and journey they could never have imagined. It gave them courage and purpose and life. In those first moments of the first Easter Sunday, they may have thought it was the end of the story. And then they came alive to the reality that the story was just beginning. That's how resurrection works. That's how resurrection has always worked. And that's how it will continue to work in your life and my life and all of our lives together, even when it seems impossible, even when it seems empty, even when it feels overwhelming, even when it brings up fears and doubts and questions. There are two ways to look at a blank sheet of paper. It can be the most frightening thing in the world because you have to make the first mark on it. Or it can be the greatest opportunity in the world because you get to make the first mark on it and create whole new worlds. If that's what a blank sheet of paper can do, how much more will the resurrection of Jesus take us from a place of fear and all the other things that can keep us frozen in place and instead bring us into a place of his presence and hope and love? If you've never opened your life up to Jesus before, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Jesus wants to take the empty places of our lives and to fill you and to begin writing a brand new story. All you need to do is open yourself up to a relationship with him by inviting him into your life. And for many of us who are here today, maybe we've already done that in the past, but we know that we need to recenter our lives back to him. It's not too late, because resurrection has the final word. You can simply open your heart once again to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm coming home. I'm opening myself up to you once again. Take my life, Jesus, and begin writing a new chapter in my story. Let today be a new first day. And what better way to do it than Easter Sunday? In just a moment, we're going to celebrate communion together. And as you come up to your server, you'll notice at either end on the stool, we've got little blank cards here. And so I want to invite you, after you've received the communion elements, to come and to grab one of these blank cards and to take it home with you as this reminder that there are two ways that we can live life, especially when faced with a blank page in front of us. We can live in fear about making that first mark on it, or we can live with courage and the hope that is found in Jesus' own life and resurrection, holding us and inviting us into a new reality and experience and chapter and story and day. So please do grab one of these as you come by and let it be a tangible reminder. Put it on your desk, your bathroom sink, wherever it is, as a daily reminder of what Jesus wants to do in your life. It's not the end of the story. It's not the end of your story. Because the story is just beginning. It's the first day of a new life. And it's going to lead us into unimaginable new chapters and stories now and in the life to come. Let me close with the final words of the great Chronicles of Narnia series by the renowned C.S. Lewis. For them, meaning the children in the story who are a representation of us, for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world, all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Because now at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. May it be so.